13 days from Christmas. 13 days. It probably does feel a little different this year, right? It does feel a little bit different with what's going on in this year. I mean, it's been an awesome, totally amazing year and so many awesome, amazing things, but it does feel different. It feels a little different this year. But it's an awesome time for us as believers because when we do get the opportunity, we can be that light and we can share with people, just like Santa did in that story, in that video, that he is the reason for our season, right? And it, you know, Santa Claus, Saint Nick was an awesome man. He was giving, he was kind, and he loved to give candy, which is awesome when you're young, but when you're old, you can't have it. He was a good man, but he's not the reason for the season, right? Jesus is the reason. Turn to your neighbor and say, how are you? You look so awesome and amazing this evening. You're so awesome. You can talk with your imaginary neighbor if you want to. We ain't going to judge. So, all right. If you have your Bibles, we're actually going to start in the verse we closed with last week, 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. I am reading out of the New Living Translation tonight, and it says this: Dear children, the last hour is here. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged to us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong to us. You know what's crazy is Apostle John penned these words. You know, they felt that they were in the last hour, and this was a couple thousand years ago, right? And as believers, if we see everything that is, you know, transpired in 2020 and all that we've hoped it to be this year and all that we dreamed this year was going to be and all the wonderful things that we were going to do and accomplish this year and still so many good things. How many of us have seen, it seems like the last hour is getting closer. It seems like that last hour of his return and Jesus coming back is getting closer. And you think about an hour for a minute, right? How many of us know that you can obviously break down an hour, that there's 60 minutes, right? And how many of us know within those 60 minutes, how many seconds are within those 60 minutes? And so God holds time in his hand. And no matter, you know, for some of us, when we have back pain and when we're going through trouble, it's like, Jesus, can you come right this second? I am ready to meet you. I am ready to go. But it's not our call. It's not our call. It's his call. But more now than ever, I do feel that this is our last hour, and it's a good time to be awakened and ready for all that he has for us. I like Paul as he, or John, defines and talks about the spirit of the Antichrist. And as he's using the language there of the Antichrist, it means instead of Christ. The Antichrist means instead of Christ. It means that the claims that man has, the Antichrist, he wants what belongs to Jesus, that he is the actual substitute for Christ. And if you look around today in our world, you see a lot of people, and there's not that, you know, we're not, none of us are strange in here because we're all awesome and amazing, right? Tell your neighbor they're awesome and amazing. We can definitely look in our world today and we see some odd people, right? You know, you think about all the different religions. We know there's atheists and there's Mormons and Jehovah's Witness and there's so many different, you know, Muslims and this and that and that. There's so many different religions, different beliefs. And then people who just don't want to believe anything. They don't want to believe they're an atheist. They don't want to believe in the air. They don't want to believe that there's, you know, lions and tigers. Oh my, they don't want to believe in any of that kind of stuff. People who just don't want to believe. And you think about the spirit of the Antichrist for a second and the full definition. Antichrist, instead of Christ, someone instead of Jesus, instead of him, to want everything that belongs to Jesus to take for themselves, a substitute. And sometimes what we realize when we're not careful as people and as the people that we live in this lovely valley with and in our world today, sometimes we actually accept that spirit of the Antichrist without realizing that we have the spirit of Antichrist around. Because sometimes what we do when we decide to take matters into our own hands and assume control that only belongs to God alone, then we are assuming and we're grasping that spirit of the Antichrist. Tonight, as we move on to our series, and again, it's unfiltered and the title is called Backwards, our main text is Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." And so kind of as we break down our definition and our theme, filter and unfiltered, if you look up filter in the dictionary, it means to pass liquid, to pass light or sound through a device to remove unwanted material. To pass liquid, light, sound through a device to remove unwanted material. A device used for removing impurities. And as we think about, that's the definition of filter. Our theme is unfiltered, right? We think about this. All of us in this room are in the ballpark of 30, right? And how many of us in our ballpark of 30, sorry for those who are younger, those who are older, feeling like we're still 30, except when we get out of bed and wake up in the morning and looking for that cup of coffee, then we're realizing we're not 30 anymore. But as I was praying and I was asking God, "God, you know, this is such a crazy season. This is such a crazy time." You know, God reminded me, many of us, before we meet Jesus Christ, there are so many different things that we build in our mind and our heart and our soul. In our mind, we build roadblocks and walls. And in our hearts and emotions, that become soft and they're hard and they're, you know, changing daily with people we love and we hate. I mean, none of us hate anybody, right? But other people hate other people, not us, because we are good loving people, right? But all of us in this room, we have built up filters in our heart, mind, and soul. And when we become Christians and new believers and we ask Jesus in our heart and everything changes and we become a new creation and everything's awesome and the light's shining down on us and everything is good, God still tries to speak to us. But even though we've given our life to him, many of us, there's challenges and there's blockage from him trying to get his word into our hearts. And so this theme, unfiltered, came out more than ever. And many of us, how many of us, you know, we have favorite people. We've, again, in our 30s, we've seen, you know, Billy Graham in our lifetime, right? An amazing evangelist. And Greg Laurie, an amazing evangelist. And an amazing pastors and all the Christian leaders who've gone before us. All those words that have been penned here in the Bible. All the amazing men and women who have brought the gospel to this point. They have brought it to this point for us to pick up and carry. And in this moment and in this time, because for you and me, I know life seems just as different and it's changed and everything's different. Many people are asking questions, more questions today than they've ever asked before. Many people have doubts today, more doubts than they've ever had. There are people who are leaving churches, they're leaving their faith behind. It's like throwing something in the trash. They said they used to believe and worship God and worship leaders and pastors, all kinds of crazy things that are happening. People are just dumping it because it's a confusing time that we live. It's so confusing. And with all the confusion, with all the things that we've built in our lives up to this point, it's really, really important. We learn. We have to remove things that are stopping us from hearing his voice. Because God wants you to hear his voice clearly. God wants you to feel his presence. God wants us to grow. He wants us to change and move. Tonight, as we break down this story, this Jesus, he begins to give the disciples the plain truth. And he's already spent some time with them. He starts to unfold the plan. And I don't know about you, but that is an exciting time. And it is an exciting time when you think about being with Jesus for over a year and you're seeing this guy and he is so awesome and he's so amazing and all the questions in the disciples' minds that have to be building up. And so it says at this point, Jesus gives them the plain truth. And the plain truth, they're thinking, you know, all of a sudden, I'm sure in their minds they're thinking, you know, Jesus is going to like open the curtains and there's going to be thousands of men and chariots and horses, all kinds of stuff. And we're going to take over the world, right? Jesus gives them the plain truth, and he says, I'm going to suffer many things, many terrible things. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed. On the third day, I'm going to be raised to life. And it says that Peter pulls him aside, and because all of us, for the most part, we love Peter, he begins to reprimand Jesus. The vocal leader in the group has to, somebody has to step up, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, somebody has to step up. And they're thinking, Jesus is probably a crazy person. What is he talking about suffering? He walks on water. This guy doesn't need to suffer. He can zap people with lightning bolts. What is he talking about? And Peter, I'm sure his head is going crazy right now as he's thinking, what has gone on in this person? What's happened to this man? He felt good in this moment because we know that right before this moment, Jesus called him a rock and Peter's amazing and, you know, building the church and this, that, and the other. So Peter is like at the top of his game. He is the MVP of the disciples right now. So he's feeling so good. He decides, I'm going to take matters in my own hand. I'm going to reprimand Jesus. That word reprimand means to rebuke. How many of us have ever rebuked someone? How many of us have ever reprimanded somebody? You know, sometimes there is a right time. How many of us learned there is a wrong time? You feel in your heart, I need to slap somebody silly right now. When you feel in your mind, I need to give the plain truth to somebody, there is a right moment for that. And there are times where God gives us maybe a word or desire that we need to do and something that we need to move and handle. But that does not mean that all of a sudden we pick up the phone and we text or we call or we send a Marco Polo to somebody and then we rebuke them and send them to hell at that moment. Because maybe God is starting and preparing you to give you a word that in that moment and when it's the time is right and the heart is ready to receive, then you can reprimand and then you can rebuke. And for me, I am one of those people. It is fun to rebuke and it's fun to reprimand. That's why I have five kids. That's why I thought, you know, this is what I'm signing up for. I got five kids. I can spank them softly, right? Not like when I was fourth grade and, you know, in fourth grade I can remember, and of course it's ingrained deep in my brain. We were playing on the playground and kids were playing tag, which is just a deathly game right there when you're a death competitor, right, Shiloh? We were playing tag and I don't remember, but for some reason I said a bad word. And in fourth grade, I know it's shocking to everybody. It's never happened again since, but shoot, I admitted two things here and I'm lying. So anyway. So it gets to the principal, and I was at a private school at the time, and it gets to the principal, so they call me into class. Class had started. They call me out of class. I got to go see the principal, and he sits me down and asks me. And it wasn't, so if you're going to, you know, think of bad words, it was like one of those ones that aren't very bad, you know. It's still some people consider a bad one. Other people, it's like they use it all the time, you know. I felt in my heart it wasn't bad at the time, but I guessed the principal felt otherwise. And so he looks at me, he says, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And he takes out a wood paddle, and he whips me. Oh, whew. I never said that word again, I can tell you. Well, at least at school, right? Anyway. And that was the right time, right? You're a private school, and you got to watch your mouth. And so the principal did what he needed to do. For some of us in this room, you see, just like Peter, we sometimes take things in our own hands, but it's not the right moment. It's not the right moment to do it. And when you reprimand somebody or rebuke somebody, if their heart does not receive what you're giving them, it was the wrong moment. But the problem is, how many of us, you don't know, right? Maybe God's downloading information, you know, like he's depositing money into your account right now. He's downloading information and you're receiving and you're saying, yes, this is the moment I get to rebuke somebody. All things are good. And that person looks at you and cusses you out and never wants to see you again. Peter reprimanded Jesus in this moment. And I don't think he got the response that he was thinking that he was going to get. And many of us in life have learned this lesson. God does want to use you to reprimand people. God does, because as believers, how many of us know it's sometimes, now not for us, because we're super strong, mature, cool Christians, but other Christians, they get off track sometimes, right? They get off that path. They're not on that narrow road. They start headed down that broad road. And so many of us, we want to spank them and hit them and smack them, and we need to. And all of us in this room, we probably know, we can probably count 5, 10, 15, 20, right? We know a group that are out there and they're not falling. They're not passionate anymore. The light is dimmed out in their heart and all things are horrible. So it is our duty as a Christian. We do have to step up. But at some time, we do have to step up at the right moment. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. Because the time's coming when people don't want to listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They'll follow what their own desires will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears wants to hear. You know, most people, when they come to me and they ask me for advice, they're going to get the opposite of what they asked for. If someone comes to me and they're having a challenge, they're not going to get exactly. I'm just built and wired that way. I'm different, I'm weird, I'm awkward, and I'm admitting it, and I'm okay with that, right? But if you come to me, and maybe once in a while I might give you what you're thinking, but most of the time I'm going to say the opposite. Because as I read the gospel and as I read Jesus, there's a lot of times where he responds, and it's never the response that people wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear it, but they needed to hear it. God is putting stuff in you. Doesn't mean that it's exactly just for you to blurt out at any given time. I was at Walmart this past week, and my wife had been telling me that there's this guy who's there, and he's passing out tracts. And it's one of those tract passer outers where, and I love passing out tracts too. Tracts are fun. You know, you can just tell people you're going to hell, read this. And that's what this guy is doing. He's walking right up to people, getting in their face and saying, you need this. And it's like, wow, I just left Walmart. Give me a second to breathe. I got to take my mask off, you know, and then give me a second to relax, right? Everybody's different. We have to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit in this time because he wants to use us as witnesses. He does want us to use us to reprimand people and rebuke people, but in the right moment. So the response that he gets, and of course we all love this because, you know, if we're gonna cuss or if we're gonna be Christian cussers, this is what we're gonna say to you. You're Satan or the devil. Instead of cuss words, we use that word, Satan and the devil. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, get away from me, Satan. You are a trap. Poor Peter, he's got to feel crushed right now. Poor Peter, I mean, he's walked on water. He's Superman. He's awesome and he's strong and he's tough. But I'm sure he had a tear for a second. I'm sure he was like, that's not what I thought I was going to get. You know, tough men cry too, right? Sam, yeah? Sorry, Jose, I thought of Sam first, but you're second in that list. Tougher men cry too. Yes, thank you. Thank you, appreciate that. Tougher men cry too. When you're called the rock of the church and then you're called the devil the next second, you're thinking, ouch, who am I? Man, I thought it was so good. I thought it was flashy. I thought it was awesome. You know, and what Peter didn't realize in that moment, it wasn't him that was being called the devil or Satan, but it was the words that he spoke. Sometimes what we don't realize is there are times where we say, Jesus, love you, praise you, you're the best in the whole wide world, and then we can drive outside, somebody cuts us off, and then we have some nice four-letter words for somebody, right? One minute we're praising God, and the next minute, not cuss words, other four-letter words, right? But we can have different choice words as well. How many of us learn in our 30 years of living, we can get in the flesh real quick? You know, sometimes when Kim and I fight, we, you know, sometimes when you start fighting as a married couple, and you've been married for us for a few years, you know, you fight fair for the first few minutes, right? But then after the first few minutes, then it's like, oh, I'm just getting warmed up, right? So then you, right? Anyway, let's pray. We're going to be done. We're going to be done for today. But going to meet me at home. Whew. Yes. For Peter, he gets called the devil. And what he doesn't realize, it wasn't he himself as being called the devil. His words that he spoke, those words that he just let out so easy. Just like some of us, sometimes we let words out so easy. We let things fly so easy. Even on the way to church, how easy it is as a parent to get mad and frustrated with your kids, right? Easy to get mad and frustrated with your spouse. You took the wrong turn. Do you not have the lights on? Do I need to get you new glasses, right? There's certain things that we say when we don't realize that I don't wear glasses, so I would never say that. Be careful with our words. Jesus says to Peter, you know, you're stuck. And the words that are coming out of your mouth, you're speaking from the human point of view. So dangerous. Those words that you're speaking are so dangerous. So dangerous. You know, for many of us, we like to win. How many of us, we are winners. We like to win. I used to be a definite Laker fan. I still like basketball and Lakers, but in my younger days, I really liked the Lakers. And I can remember, you know, when the Lakers were losing, my wife would be like, oh, it's going to be a bad night. You know, because I would get depressed after they lost. It was a big deal. When your team loses, you know, it's like you're there with them. You're on the bench with them, and you're feeling really bad. It was a horrible game and should have passed me, and I would have made the shot, but they didn't. We like to win. And I have to think for Peter in this second, he's thinking, suffering doesn't sound like winning. And being killed, that doesn't really sound like winning either. And I don't even think he heard the last thing that Jesus said. Jesus said on the third day, you know, I'm going to be raised to life. But I think Peter's mind was so stuck on hearing suffering and killing that he didn't hear point three. And see, that's where some of us get stuck as well. As we're watching TV today, as we're listening to the news, as we have friends who are getting sick, as this is happening and that's happening, we're hearing little bits and pieces, and then our mind gets stuck. And then what happens, next thing you know, we're being robbed of joy. And next thing you know, we're being robbed of peace because we allowed something to infect and get inside of us and really bother us. And for some of us, sometimes, how many of us realize that if you've ever bought a junk mobile. And Kim and I, our first car, we bought a Ford Probe, and it was a junker. My stepdad, Carl, actually helped that day get a Ford Probe, so it was your fault, but just kidding. But we drove out of there, and I can't remember if the transmission blew or the engine blew, like a day or two later. It's like, wow, man, we were sold this bill of goods. This thing is a junker. And this was a long time ago. We've learned, that's why if I buy a car now, it's a 8 to 10 hour negotiating debate with the salespeople. And it's something that I look forward to. I do, I really, because you got to yell at somebody, right? You got to argue and fight with somebody. How many of us in our life, we've learned that, you know, we like certain things and we cling to certain things. We like to win and we like positive sayings. We like, you know, to be positive and we like to feel those ushy-gushy feelings. How many of us have ever heard, magic is believing in yourself. If you can do that, you can make anything happen. Self-confidence is the best outfit. One day I woke up and realized I was not made for anyone. I was just made for me. I am my own. You were born to be real, to be perfect. Put yourself at the top of your to-do list every single day, and the rest will fall in place. Kind of like buying a used car today, the devil has worked overtime at selling us positive messages and inspirational messages and things that make us feel good about ourselves. But you know what we don't realize? In this story, Peter and Jesus, they're having a conversation. Winning was suffering. Winning was being killed. And as horrible and as gross as that sounds, bad things that were going to happen were going to bring about something far better. Peter was so stuck in the moment, he couldn't get there. And so that's where our title comes for tonight, is backwards. And I think that for some of us sometimes, and again, maybe not for us in here because we're all awesome and amazing and mature Christians and we have, the light shines in us everywhere we go. We're awesome. But for other Christians, sometimes they get certain things backwards. And the thought of life, thought of Christianity, what God is saying or speaking, sometimes we get it backwards. You know, Jesus said, I've come to give life and life to the fullest, right? And that's one of my favorite verses, John 10:10. That is awesome. That's amazing. Yes, I want a full life. I want to make the most out of every opportunity. I want to live till I'm 145. I want to, you know, do this and I want to do that and be a part of this and be a part of that. But sometimes winning becomes too all-consuming for us. And being positive sometimes for us becomes all too consuming for us. And sometimes what we do without realizing it, we're looking for hope in the wrong places. And sometimes we're looking for hope in the wrong places. I have a couple quotes from Martin Luther I want to read. We need to recapture the gospel glow of the early Christians, who were nonconformists in the truest sense of the word. They refused to shape their witness according to the mundane patterns of the world. Willingly, they sacrificed fame, fortune, and life itself on behalf of the cause they knew to be right. If the church today does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, it will lose its authentic ring, forfeit the loyalty of millions, and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning for the 20th century. Jesus goes on after they has this conversation with Peter, and he says this, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So tonight as we move, just kind of start wrapping up. You see, Jesus, he expresses these words. And I think at this point when he expresses these words, Peter started to get it. Because Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. When he had that conversation with Peter just a few minutes ago, and you rewind, what did he say? You're thinking from a human point of view. And that's where most of us get stuck, because we are humans. Pinch your neighbor. See, are you a real human? Pinch them. See if they scream. If they didn't scream, pinch them harder. We are humans. It doesn't mean that we have to live by the human standards of the world that we all, sometimes I'm human, that's the way God made me, right? Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You have to take up your cross and follow me. Give up whose way? Your own way. Your own human way of thinking. Your own human way of doing things. Your own way. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. And how many people today, and definitely we've seen it in this year, are trying to hang on to their life like it's everything. That life is, and life is important, right? Life is important and life is amazing. But the next life, how much better is it going to be? You try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. If you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What will you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Roy, if you want to come back up. I'm going to close here in a song in a second. I'm going to read one more verse. John 12:23 says, and this is Jesus speaking things that are similar but a little bit different. He said, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." And he says, "I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." Now listen. "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter his glory. And I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." So many people have read the Bible and see Jesus, truly, he did so many awesome, amazing things. He did also suffer and die. He was crucified. In those verses that I read there, says that when a seed goes into the ground, and how many people, they see this and they know that Jesus, yes, he is speaking of himself, the seed that gets planted in the ground, but the fruit that comes out, the Christian church that takes over the world. How many of us have ever taken a step back to say, suffering and dying, I'm glad that stopped with the Jesus and the disciples. Was it just for them? Because many of us, and how many of us know people who are running away from suffering. Now that the Christian church is feeling a little persecution, now that we're in getting closer to the last hour, and maybe it's down to 4 minutes and 32 seconds, the last hour, he's coming back, and people, if we're feeling the shakiness. You know, Jesus said, and I wouldn't know this as a mom giving birth, but the time, it's when a mom's getting ready to give birth, there's birth pains, and they know when it's time, right? These guys were just happy that the baby's coming out, and, you know, whew. for mom who's carried a baby for 9 months and it gets to that point, she knows when it's time. We're getting close to that point. And the sad thing is, as Christians, we are feeling things and feelings that maybe we didn't want to feel as a Christian. That we were so stuck on being blessed. And yes, God does want to bless us and all the good things and prosperity and all of that, that God still, yes, has. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this light shining in our hearts. We ourselves, we're like fragile jars of clay containing this great treasure. And it makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves, because we are pressed on every side by trouble, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. You know, as Paul penned these a few years ago, speaking, Christians are going to be pressed on every side. How many times in our Christian life, though, have we really felt pressed on every side? How many times as a Christian have we really felt perplexed more than in just this year alone? Right? What has happened in just this year alone? There's so many different changes. There's so many different things. So as we close, stand with us. And the thought is tonight, with being backwards, is our thinking sometimes, our backwards thinking, is it stopping God from speaking loud and clear? Because like Peter, we're trying to hang on to life. We're trying to save life. We're trying to hang on to it. And Jesus said, stop. It's death that brings new life. When we become Christians, when we become born again, there is a whole new way of thinking that gets born. Whole new things that happen inside. But it's the death that brings forth life. And so we have an opportunity in this season, in the next 2 weeks, as we get close to Christmas, even though it doesn't really feel like Christmas, but it's here and it's upon us. We have an opportunity this year that with all that's happening in our world today, we can look around and we can complain about it, and we can talk about it, and we can complain, and we can talk, and we can complain, and we can get, you know, mad, and we can argue, and all the things that are going on that we don't like. Or we can use this opportunity to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can use this opportunity in this time more now than ever. We can start to clearly explain things, because things are unfolding right in front of us. And we can use it, that this is the time, this is the hour. Give your life to Jesus. Don't waste any more time. Don't waste half-heartedness. There's a lot of Christians who are waiting to the end. They want to wait to that last day. Let's party like the devil, and then on the last night, then I'm going to repent, right? We know a lot of believers like that, or want to be believers like that. And that's where we have to step in, and we have to do our part. And so the filter that I think God, as we end this theme for a little bit, to remove is our own point of view. Because sometimes it's our own point of view that's getting in the way. God, as we come to you tonight, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this service. We thank you for this time. God, we thank you for worship. God, we thank you for this word. God, as you're stirring something and you're speaking, God, to our hearts and our minds and our souls, and there's so many different things that are going through our thoughts right now. God, as you're stirring and as you're moving and as you're shaking, God, I pray, God, for us here, and I pray for our Zoe friends and family, God, that you would help us to remove every filter that is stopping from hearing your voice so clear. God, if it is our point of view, and if it is our wisdom that we've gained over the 30 years, if it's our wisdom and we know, we've learned, we've done it, we've done this, we've done that, so we know, but if it's yet, it's our wisdom, it's nothing close to your wisdom that's stopping us, God, from hearing your voice. God, help us. God, in this hour, as we have 2 weeks left in this year, that you would help us, God, to start to seek you and truly press in to listen. God, through the shakiness, God, through the earthquakes, God, through the famines, through the riots, through the hate, through everything that's going on this year, the sickness, God, to look for your voice and to listen to what you're speaking. God, we give you our lives tonight. God, we give everything that we have to you. God, we surrender. God, We pray that you would use us to give the grace, to be so graceful to people, but to also to give the truth. God, we thank you again for this night. We love you.